everybody. And the song lasted the full amount and everything.
Yeah.
It is me. Don't interrupt my podcast.
Ah!
We're back.
We are back.
I think this is about season 10.
It must be.
We had a couple to be fair, that sounds like a lot, but that's still slower seasons than I'm sure Fortnite does.
Alright, mate, listen, we're like The Walking Dead. We hit like a mid-season lull and then suddenly it's the next season. So it's the three of us. It's me, Aaron, and Si.
Hello.
Hello.
And I can't believe, first of all, we've got three of us. But second of all, we've actually managed to do a show. And third of all, that Skype so far has only caused five issues.
We're using this antiquated 2005 technology.
We did think about Discord earlier, Si, but you weren't around for the brief conflab on it.
Yeah, it wasn't working well, was it?
What, no. Discord?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, what's the advantage of Discord over Skype? Just generally.
You just drop in and drop out a lot easier.
That's true, yeah.
What he said.
It's not noticeable when people drop in as easy. And you can see when people drop in nice and easily. And multiple channels and all sorts.
Who hosts the rooms? Who's hosting the rooms when it's...
Discord do.
Okay.
I have Nitro on Discord.
Is that what pays for it?
Yeah. Although that you can have free Discord, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I have free Discord.
Yeah, and you can have your own Discord channels and everything, even if you don't pay for it. But there's some things you get. So I get the ability to have my Discord icons appear up in other people's Discords. So if I go over to somebody else's Discord, I can use the Loopcast emotes in their Discord.
Ah.
And that makes you a better human being.
Yes, it does.
That's what I thought.
Mm. And do you use... Do we have a Loopcast emote?
Yeah, we've got the logo. I think that's the only emote that we've got on Discord.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a
girls.
Loopcast emote, where can they get it on the server, Aaron? How can they get it?
If they ping us on Twitter, I'll post the invite. You have to invite to Discord. So basically it's just a link, and you just basically post the link out and people can just click on that link and add themselves to Discord. There's various different channels on Discord. There's the generic channels, there's the members channels, and then there's the hosts channels.
What sort of goodness do we get in the host channels?
It's just a separate channel that's just locked down to a few people, as in the hosts.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, there's a recording channel that we can go into so that if we're recording and we go in there, other people can't join in and just interrupt the recording session.
I mean, let's face it. First of all, that's a massive if.
Yes.
And second of all, that's the assumption that we're doing something that shouldn't be interrupted.
Well, there is that. Yes, we could just record in one of the default channels.
That could be quite exciting. It could be like a honeypot. Isn't that what they call it?
Could be. Honeypot? I don't know if that's a thing.
It could also end up like THQ's interview on 8chan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a nice PR disaster, wasn't it?
Yeah. We don't quite have a reputation as good as THQ to protect. Actually, no, I think our reputation would be better.
I was going to say, our reputation is infinitely better than THQ's was.
Especially after that fiasco.
Although THQ Nordic, who has relaunched THQ Nordic? Well, somebody bought the name for THQ, didn't they?
Yeah, yes. Nordic Games.
Nordic Games.
I feel like they're
They
did quite nicely.
Didn't they?
No, they're the ones who just messed up.
Yeah, they're the ones that did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because THQ Nordic is actually just THQ.
Because 8chan is the 4chan for people who got banned from 4chan for posting naughty pictures.
Yes.
Illegal things.
People. I don't understand why 4chan's... Well, I do, because it's like the unmodified version of Reddit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the moderated. Yeah, Reddit.
I'm hitting Reddit up again.
I occasionally go in, but to be fair, I don't find enough time to follow Twitter, let alone go through.
I prefer Reddit to Twitter because at least I can choose kind of the topics that I want to see.
Yeah, but mostly my Twitter, I've only following people that post stuff that I want to see anyway, most of the time.
Right.
But it's still, there's still other things do creep in there, I guess. But then even on Reddit, I follow a few things like Elite Dangerous. And there's so much of people just posting screenshots and things. They look great, but I have to find any actual news or relevant stuff about Elite Dangerous. I have to scroll through loads and loads of pretty screenshots, but they are, you know, to actually
get
any...
pinned if it's news.
I don't know. I don't think so. People pin nice screenshots as well.
Well, the moderators need to do a better job, don't they?
Well, maybe there's an Elite Dangerous news channel that I need to find or something. Rather than just the general Elite Dangerous channel. I have to say that something happened to my Reddit account at some point and it's been locked out. I can still use it. I can still browse through content. I just can't post anything. But given I don't post anything on Reddit anyway, I've not bothered doing anything.
Have you been arguing with people on the internet, Aaron?
No.
Is that what you've done?
No, I think the last time I posted to Reddit was when my Oculus Rift was arriving. Because we were all posting release times, delivery times. Back when the initial pre-order versions were arriving.
Oh, I use Reddit. I get into ding-dongs. Not proper ding-dongs, but little ding-dongs on Reddit. I feel like it's hard not to, right? Like somebody, somebody put a post saying that, and we'll get onto this in a second, saying that they're really enjoying Anthem and they don't really see why it got such negative reviews. And I put a comment saying, yeah, you know, I'm enjoying it too, and I don't think, you know, it necessarily warranted the slaughtering that it got. And somebody put, well, why is your view more valid? In fact, I'm going to go and find his poxy response. And I'm going to publicly read it out. What was wrong with them? No, hang on, that's the flight controls discussion.
See, this is why I deleted my account.
What exactly makes your point of view more valid? A reviewer's job is to warn people of subpar games. Now, you can enjoy subpar games. No one is refuting that. However, it is in reviewer's duty to tell people how the game really is.
No,
I said to him, I didn't say it was more valid. But as you bring it up, my view is more valid for my perception of what is fun to me. I would disagree that my view is a disservice. I would also add that I'm clearly not alone in that view. Yeah, polite telling off.
Yeah. You show them, Dave.
I will in my overly reserved British manner.
Yeah. You could also say, yes, I do also review games, but yeah.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
No.
It's not worth publicizing the podcast.
Yeah.
Reddit.
Oh, God, no. You don't want to get into that. But yeah, so... Thing is, a lot of the time these days, reviewers just... It's their opinion. It's not... A lot of the time is subjective. Even a review is subjective. Because you can't be objective about reviews these days. Because you're not judging it based on, you know, how long the game is. Well, you could do, I guess. You could say it's running in this many pixels with this frame rate and this many, it takes you this long to finish and it's this many hours and the skill level is this and it's got this many different, you know, skill trees and just do it statistically. But that's not what makes a game great, though.
But even they're subjective.
Well, no. If you just take numbers, as in this is how long it takes to complete the game, this is the resolution, this is the thing, then you've got an objective numbers. But
whether it's good or bad, it doesn't
mean anything, really. It means that the game has those numbers. And that technically, maybe it is a prettier game. But it doesn't mean it's actually better. It just means that via some scoring mechanism, it got a higher number than another one. Back in the day, there was obviously some, you know, there was a limit to how much game you could put on a cartridge or a floppy disk or whatever. So, you know, some of those key factors were quite key. So, you know, did it have CD sound back in the day, you know? That was a big selling point, you know, if it had real sound. Did it have actual composed music? Did it just have bleeps and blops? But that's back when I first was buying games.
That's when you didn't have to hire someone to play the music live in your bedroom. Yes. Alongside the game that you were playing.
Well, no, you had to play music alongside the game because the game didn't have music because they couldn't fit it on the cartridge or whatever.
Please find an enclosure accompanying compact, you know, not compact disc, it would have been a tape, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, yeah, tape or one of those plastic vinyl discs you put on your record player and weighed down with a 2p piece.
Wrong with 2p pieces.
Yeah. I remember those. You get them on front of magazines.
What, but yeah. 2p pieces?
No.
You never got 2p pieces on front of magazines.
No, you got the those floppy samples singles, didn't you? On the front of music magazines.
Yeah.
So you could have a listen to what the latest releases were, and they gave you 10-second clip of all the latest releases or whatever they were.
Yeah, and then they used to get into cover discs where you used to just get covers of songs by other artists that wanted to try and make it.
Yeah. Or you'd get a track off the new LP by such and such, and you could buy the magazine to get one track.
I always liked such and such.
Yes.
I thought they were an underrated artiste.
I bet you there is a band called such and such.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
But yeah.
It's clearly a thing. The hell have we all been up... Oh, I used HE double hockey sticks. What have we all been up to?
I've been playing an awful lot of Elite Dangerous. Just for a change.
Hold the phone! What?
No, I got back into it. I've decided to do...
You don't say.
...a bit of an explore, and it's... Well, I got into Black Desert a lot. I was playing that every day and just constantly playing it. Even when I wasn't playing it, I was playing it. Because that game, you can just set stuff going in the background and it can play. But yeah, so I've got back into Elite about a week and a half ago. And now I've just been taking myself a week to get from Earth. I was outside Earth at the Gorbachev space station. And I am now a couple of jumps away from the centre of the galaxy, Sagittarius A star. So I shall have a look at that.
What happens at the centre of the galaxy?
There's a supermassive black hole. And you get to go and have a look at it. And hopefully not die. No, there's...
There's surely a high chance of death.
No. There's safeguards in your ship, apparently, that... doesn't let you fly into a black hole. It keeps you away from the event horizon.
Though there is a high chance of death if you fly well outside the game's boundaries. Is that correct? I saw some rescue mission.
Oh, yeah.
To rescue someone.
Yeah, somebody was attempting to get the furthest from Sol you could possibly get.
They didn't even manage it.
No, they didn't. So what they did was they went to the edge of the galaxy rather than the centre and just kept going. Just basically left their machine on and just kept going. And they kept going and kept going. And then they said, right, this is as far as I'm going to get. I'll jump back to the nearest star and get some fuel, scoop some fuel.
And but they didn't have enough fuel.
They didn't have enough fuel to jump back. So the Fuel Rats, which is an in-game group of people, went out there to rescue them. And they did. It took a couple of months to get out there and to rescue him, but they did. They 2.5 months, I think, it took them to rescue this guy. But it took him about a month, I think, to even register that he was stranded.
Imagine if he was just out there and then they got there and they said, oh, he said, oh, I'm done. I'm lugging off now.
Yeah.
Well, you took too long. What sort of rescue do you call
that? I'm bored. I'm playing Apex Legends.
Yeah. Well, no, because you have to log off, because otherwise you will use fuel up anyway, even if you're... So what you'd have to have done is logged off, wait till they get there, and then log on. Because otherwise you'll run out of fuel anyway, because even keeping your life support on uses fuel.
Will his ship still be there?
No, it'll explode if you run out of fuel.
So his ship won't be there when he's logged off?
No. No, your ship's not there when you log off. I don't believe so, anyway. Because even if you're not logged into the same session as the other people, then you're not there. Because it's all instanced. You can only have something like 64 people in an instance or something like that. At the moment, if you're in open, you're basically in one of these instances. That's you know, the free play, or you can be in a private group. So what they'll have done is set up a private group and then made sure they were in the same instance by doing a private group, and then they'll have gone out to him and given him some fuel. It's quite easy to give fuel. It's just,
yeah, but they've got it all the way out there.
Yeah. But there were two people that tag-teamed. They could refuel each other on the way out there.
Sounds like a lot of work for something that's ultimately...
Yeah. But that's what... It's just in-game role-playing. The Fuel Rats are in-game role-playing as recovery, you know. As emergency services sort of thing.
The green flag. The RAC.
Yeah.
Have you? They got to him and said, "Oh, CRAA numbers out of date."
Yeah. Now, I can say it's free, and they do it on all the consoles as well. They do it on PS4 and Xbox as well as PC. So, whatever platform you're on, you just go on their website and request a recovery, and they'll come out and give you fuel.
That's quite a cool service, isn't it?
It is. And there's a bunch of scientists that research stuff as, you know, scientifically and do that. And there's a bunch of people that do other things as well. And there's all sorts of in-game radio stations and all sorts. So, yeah, it's quite a lot of background role-playing. It's not a role-play game, you know, it's a space sim. But there's a bunch of background role play that happens alongside the game, so that's quite fun. But yeah, so I'm nearly at the centre galaxy. It's taken me nearly a week to get out there, and it's going to take me a week to get back.
A week?
Yeah.
Real world week?
Yeah. Well, obviously I've only done it in, you know, 3-hour chunks, but about 2 hours a night for a week is how long it's taken me.
Crikey.
So yeah, it's not a small undertaking. It's something like, I think it's about 800 jumps. So I could have potentially done that in about 800 minutes. I don't know.
What real-time minutes?
800 real-time minutes, yeah.
Oh my God.
Aaron, this is an intervention.
Yeah.
So I've been playing that. I've been listening to music, watching YouTube videos while I've been jumping out there.
To be fair, that's what I'd do. I'd be like, right, I got to catch up on Game of Thrones. Seasons 1, 2, 7.
So go. I jumped out there and
twice
I'm
going
to jump back.
All to drop off some trash.
No, this is these are exploration missions. So basically I'm going all the way out there to scan a beacon and then go all the way back. So basically I picked up a passenger at Earth and he wanted to go and scan this beacon. So
is this a real person? Is this a
No, it's an NPC. It's an exploration. It's a passenger mission, effectively, in game. And this passenger wants to go and visit the centre of the galaxy, or near the centre of the galaxy, should I say. He doesn't actually want to go to Sajay, he wants to go near Sajay. There's apparently a rare gas giant near Sajay that he wants to visit.
If he wants to see a rare gas giant, then he can visit me after a curry.
Yeah, so I'm going to visit this gas giant. I've visited two other places on the way. And then I'm going to visit Sajay because I want to visit Sajay. And then I'm going to come back. And then it's going to net me... I'm going to get 70 to 80 million in rewards.
But.
Yeah.
It'll have taken you...
Come on, then.
800 minutes. Correct?
No, 800 minutes each way.
Each way?
Well, there's no quick way back.
It might be 700 minutes on the way back. I might. Because I did do a little detour on the way back, on the way there. But I might do a detour on the way back. If there's a nice nebula to go through, I might.
Right. 700 minutes. That's more time than I spend with a lot of games, full stop.
Yeah, it's, 600 minutes is 10 hours, isn't it? So,
yeah, I mean, that the majority of games don't even get that as the lifetime look-in that they get from me.
Yeah, I'm getting my money's worth of this game, I tell you.
Yeah, but that's a one mission.
Well, speaking, it's three missions, but yeah.
I'm concerned for your gaming well-being.
So, yeah, so that's that. That's that mission. I could have got a mission closer, but it wouldn't have paid quite so much. But
no, I'm sure it wouldn't have done. Because it's not asking you to dedicate a couple of weeks.
Yep.
For some Zimbabwean dollars.
But
mate, Zimbabwean dollars are worth more.
But, that's true, yeah.
But yeah, so this will buy me a new ship. But also I'll get all the exploration data that I'm gaining on the way. So I'm scanning as I go through, and I should get a tidy sum of exploration data. So I reckon I'm going to get 100 million out of this, which should buy me a new ship.
Can it get you the best ship in the game?
I don't know. I've got the best ship in the game.
Wait, you've got the best ship in the game?
Well, the one I wanted, I've got. I've got quite a few. I've got about five ships now. Basically, I'm doing it to try and get every ship in the game. I'm trying to buy every ship in the game and have one of each ship. At least one of each ship.
But you'll have to have them parked all over the galaxy, all over the universe.
Well, the galaxy. There is only one galaxy. They haven't modelled more than one galaxy yet.
Aaron.
But I've got most of them parked in one place.
Si, we need to do something.
Well, I started a similar game.
God, what are you doing?
I started No Man's Sky.
That's good. What are you playing on?
PlayStation. Okay. And I hate it already because...
Really?
Yeah, I flew into space. All right, I finally got into space. And then it's like, go to this marker and there's no marker. It says open the galaxy map, and I open the galaxy map and there's fuck all on it. I'm like, well, this is the shittest tutorial in the world. Either the game's broken or it's the shittest tutorial in the world.
No, you don't need to. When you first go into the space, you go to the next planet along, don't you?
Yeah.
Right, well, I haven't got a marker for where the next planet is.
Oh, that's weird. It should just be on your HUD.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's okay. It broke then, did it?
Yep. So, yeah, that's that game.
Because I've not had that problem. We've restarted it a couple of times recently, haven't we? Because we were playing with James.
What? Is it cross-play?
No, unfortunately not. I don't think it's even cross-play, depending on what type of PC port you've bought. I think, because you can get a Windows Store, can't you? I don't think it's particularly cross-play, because it didn't matter too much originally.
You can't cross-play on it, I believe.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even multiplayer to start with. So cross-play wasn't an issue. Obviously now, I don't know. I don't know whether they're still updating it, whether they're still going to be releasing big patches for it, or what they're going to be doing. Because they've got all the major things they said they were going to add into the game, haven't they?
Now? Yeah, they've got full multiplayer in there, yeah. Which is, you know, the thing that everybody wanted.
Yeah, base buildings in there, big capital ships are in there, more realistic animals and things.
You see, I really enjoy it, but it's like with every other game, it's a case of trying to schedule time for everyone to be on to enjoy it together.
Yeah, because it is so much better if it is
so
multiplayer.
Much better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you end up with one person further ahead. Do you know what I mean? You need to all play in sync.
Yeah.
So I was playing it multiplayer, and we both logged in, and then we were on completely different planets, so...
No, what you do...
I'd had to start a new game. I think because I'd started a new game and then joined his, rather than him starting a new game and me joining his with a new game.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Is if you're going to start a new game on his game. And then you start out where he is. Or both start the new game at the same time. And one join the other. And then it synchronises your location. And then you can play separately. Obviously, you'll advance separately, but it shouldn't matter too much as long as you're not one of you playing drastically more than the other. But it'll keep you together. Especially now you've got base building.
Yeah, so we haven't even really tried the base building, have we?
I started.
Okay.
James was talking me through it.
Ah, yes, he's got it as well, hasn't he?
Yes, because we were playing with him.
Yes.
Last time we did it.
That was good fun.
And then you had to leave, and we both set up a base on a planet.
Of course you did. That's the sort of backstabbing thing that you two would do without me. Start making a base without me.
Well, we were making our own bases, because you have to make your own base.
Oh, God, it's going to be like Card Life. We're going to not know how to link the bases.
Yep. I don't think you can. You have to have your own base.
No Dave's Club. No Dave's Club.
Apparently it is. Apparently it is.
So, yeah, so that was all right. And then that's the last time we played it. So I've got two foundations down, and that's a crafting terminal. And that's as far as
I've got. It's definitely a game I'll go back to, but I do want to play more Anthem.
I've got so many games I want to play. I keep meaning to go back to The Witcher 3, because I have yet to finish the DLC on that.
There's rumours that it's coming to the Switch now.
I don't see why it can't.
I do. Surely it's like really CPU intensive, and the one thing that the Switch hasn't got a good thing of is the CPU.
I reckon they could fix that.
Do you reckon?
I reckon if they get rid of some of the weather and the skybox and some of that, tone down some of the prettiness, I reckon they could do it. I'm not sure it's going to be the best version of the game to play, but as a handheld, I reckon it might be doable.
Skyrim on there is amazing. I mean, admittedly, Skyrim's a much older game.
Yeah, it's a lot more basic.
But it is, it is really good on Switch, Skyrim.
They've shown two games this week that are pushing me towards one now.
Oh, here we go. Come on, then.
Well, maybe not. Maybe
out
one
with
was
it,
last
out with
week.
It.
But, yeah. Mario Maker DOS.
Yep, Mario Maker 2, yep. Have you played... Sorry, off topic. Have you played DOS? The sequel to Uno?
I have not.
It's quite good. I mean, it's nothing like Uno. Don't let the fact that it is the sequel to Uno fool you. But I mean, it's a really good little card game.
It has a sequel to Uno, just a marketing gimmick.
No. It's by the same designer and it uses the same card types-ish.
Well, the other good one I'm looking forward to is Pokemon's.
Pokemon's.
I see. I did. I saw that Animal Crossing was coming.
And thought Animal Crossing is coming.
Maybe, but maybe not.
Pokemon Go, Let's Go, whatever they call it, is actually really good on the Switch.
You see, I've never been a big Pokemon person.
Oh, in fact, sorry, tonight's the last night that I can give you the mystery box.
What, really?
I think so. I think it was the 5th, wasn't it?
What, they're only going on for so long?
No, that's the only chance to get a shiny.
Ah, oh yeah, let's try that later.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I've never been Pokemon. See, Nintendo's not been my platform. Because I never had a NES or a SNES or any of those, any of the early consoles. Game Boy Advance was my only Nintendo.
Oh god, if they released a new Advance Wars. There is that game that's meant to be like Advance Wars, isn't
there? War Groove. But it's supposed to be really hard compared with, if you compare it to Advance Wars. War Groove? I think it's War.
War Groove. The medievalish one.
Yeah. It's supposed to be in some ways better but a lot harder. And it's unforgiving and can in theory cheat a bit.
But Advance Wars was pretty unforgiving, wasn't it? I seem to remember Advance Wars being pretty unforgiving.
No.
After a certain point it suddenly became rock hard.
I don't know, maybe I didn't get that far, but it's you could just hold back and build and then swamp.
Could you?
I'm fairly sure you could. It's, I have to say, it is some years since I last played Advance Wars.
I really wish they made Advance. What I would love is for someone to re-release Advance Wars 1. Mainly Nintendo. If Nintendo did that whole, like, re-releasing little stuff.
Yeah, where is... I can't remember what happened to my Advance Wars card. Cause
I didn't touch it.
I held on to it because I had a... DS Lite, and they could play Game Boy Advance games.
Yes, they could.
Because you'd plug them in the bottom.
Yes. I've still got a DS Lite if you want.
Well, if I can find the card, maybe. But I can emulate it anyway.
No, you can't, because that would be illegal.
No, if I own the card, if I can find the card.
Isn't it pretty grey still?
It's a bit grey, but I own the license to play that game. Because in theory, the card just gives me a license to play it. It doesn't give me the ownership of the game. So if the card says I've got a license to play it, it doesn't matter the method I play it, surely. It's a license to play it. It's not the actual game. It's all a bit weird, because obviously creators are saying, no, it's a license you get to play it. But then, okay, so I get a license to play it. So I'll play.
I think you get a license to play it in that format.
But it would be if I don't know. There's all sorts of people that say if you dump the card yourself, then obviously that's your version. That is the version you've got. So if I dump my own cartridge, and then play that dump of the cartridge, then I'm effectively playing my cartridge. It's a backup of the cartridge, which you're allowed to do, I think. Or at least you were always used to be allowed to backup games. Back when physical media was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, Darren!
Yes.
That was such a pro segue. Physical and digital media will be a topic later in the show. But yes. First, Si, what two games was it that made you want to get a Switch?
Ah, I said them.
Pokemon.
Mario and
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Sword and Shield do look good. Would you get it now for Let's Go?
No, not for Let's Go. It looks alright. If I got one, I might get Let's Go. But
Let's Go is good. I mean, alright. It is flooding, like, the nostalgia glands because of the fact that it's just Pokemon Blue for me. But it's Pokemon Blue was a good game, and it's still a good. Do you know what I mean?
I think I'm gonna wait. Well, with the Switch, there's two things I'm waiting for. One, either a price drop, or two, a new
Switch 1.5,
whatever they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, because there is a rumor that that's coming out this year.
Oh, it's almost a certainty. It's Nintendo. Of course, they'll release an update, and my kids will get my current one.
But will it will it be an up? It'd be an update, but will it be an upgrade? Is the thing, because some people are suggesting maybe it's the 2DS version. So will it be effectively a mobile only version?
No, no, no. The most interesting thing with the Switch is the fact that Xbox is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
But that's the most interesting thing. If they can get this whole cloud gaming platform working on the Switch, or even work out how to stream from a PC to the Switch type thing.
That'd be quite interesting.
I mean, that could be amazing.
I'm not... The thing I've got with this Xbox coming to other platforms is that Windows for gaming for Windows Live was a thing. Ugh. And they just dropped that with no.
Yeah. So I've got. There is talk. There are these rumours, aren't there, about E3 already?
What's that?
That Microsoft's going to make gaming for PC announcements.
Oh yeah. I think they are, because they've bought a PC studio, haven't they?
They've bought a lot of studios.
Yeah,
I can't remember their exact list.
I think one of them is mostly a PC strategy gaming house, so it tends to lean towards that they're going to release more PC-based... Because there is already the Game Pass on PC.
Yes.
But there's not many games in it, and it's hard to find out what games are in it, as I tried to find out. Because I was thinking of getting it, because I wanted to have a play of Zoo Tycoon and some other games, and thought, oh, I'll have a go. But then I couldn't find all the different list of games to play on it. So I stopped. I didn't pursue it much further. So, yeah, but, yeah. As long as they do support it and don't just drop it, like against Windows Live and things like that.
I don't know if they will. If they're attaching the Xbox branding to it, I think they're much more careful with the Xbox brand than they are the Windows brand.
Yeah. It's just that the fact that I've got physical media here that I can't play on PC anymore because it's a Games for Windows Live disc.
Ah! What game is it?
I can't remember.
Age of Empires Online.
I don't know. There's a bunch, but...
That's still on Steam. And you can,
most of them are on Steam.
There are ways around the Games for Windows Live thing.
Okay. They've just relaunched Age... Well, someone's just relaunched Age of Empires Online.
It's Microsoft.
No. As in someone's made it playable again.
Oh, I see. A mode.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say, because I think I've bought most of them again on Steam sales. Because it is. But yeah, that's another thing, you know. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about on the physical side. Was physical is all well and good, but these days it doesn't mean anything. Really? Doesn't mean as much as it used to do.
Did it ever mean anything, Aaron?
Well, it meant that you could play that game offline. You didn't need internet connection. Even if, you know, PlayStation, you know, say Dreamcast. If you've got a Dreamcast machine with a Dreamcast disc, you can play that game. These days, though, if you've got a Xbox One game and an Xbox, you may not be able to play it very well. Because all these day one patches mean that if you haven't got the day one patch, your game might be really broken. That disc copy may not be useful. And even some of the cards that you get for the Switch, the physical cards, you have to then download half the game onto your card as well. I can't remember what game that was. Wasn't it the multiplayer you had to download or something? For one of the Switch games?
I can't remember.
So there's all sorts of weird stuff now that they just assume you've got online. Because I bought... it's like Anthem. I bought Anthem. And they said, oh, yeah, we're shipping it to you. I thought it was a digital one I got. And they shipped it to me, and it was a box with a code inside it. And thought, well, that was pointless. That was a waste of shipping and plastic and everything. You may as well just have emailed me the code. Because now I've got a box with a code in that isn't of any use to anyone. I don't need cases for DVDs anymore. It's not that I'm burning DVDs to play on a DVD player. So I need cases or anything. That disc case is absolutely worthless. It's just recycling. So yeah, so that's... Not that even if it came with a disc it'd matter too much, because it'd come with a code as well. I'd put the disc in and I'd be able to at least install off the disc, but then I'd need a code to then download, you know, authenticate online anyway, which meant that the disc would be worthless anyway. Because a month after it's... Well, even a day after Anthem was released, there was a patch, wasn't there? There was a day one patch for Anthem that fixed a bunch of bugs. There's been several since. Which is nice that they're fixing bugs, but... The disc copy ought to be a good working copy. So that if you are... You know, if you... The whole point of physical... was that you... could just play it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's largely accepted that physical media is very much a thing of the past.
Oh, sorry.
No, I feel like it's a thing of the past.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just sneezing.
I think, what do you think about, you know, so we're going to go towards subscription models, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah, that's the next step, isn't it?
I think Xbox is gearing up for that now with their Game Pass. I think that's what it is.
Already there, right?
Is it coming to Switch, is it?
Well, so Project X Cloud is coming to Switch, which is going to be their streaming service.
Is that confirmed?
No, I don't think it's...
They said they're bringing Xbox Live to the Switch.
Yeah, but they've got part of that there anyway, haven't they, for Minecraft?
Yeah.
Because the Minecraft multiplayer is Xbox Live. I know that because I've had to set up the kids' Xbox accounts so that they can play on their Android tablets on Minecraft.
Right. But that's also because Microsoft's got a huge love in now with Android, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, because Windows Phone, obviously... folded.
Oh yeah, and they're doing Androidy stuff.
So they're doing Androidy stuff, and I believe they're actually making their own Android fork. Because there was that whole thing about Google lost that thing, didn't they, about keeping the
Google
requirements.
Apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they took away the Play Store or something, didn't they?
Yeah. So you can't. They can't insist on all of that stuff anymore. I'm all for a digital future as long as you're able to go back and revisit your digital games.
But you can't.
Well, I mean, there's quite a few projects where you can.
There's like the Wii, because the Wii store's closed, isn't it? You can't download your Wii games anymore.
Yes, but Nintendo do stuff like that very badly.
Obviously, we've mentioned against Windows Live. So there's precedent for this thing happening in the future. There's going to be situations where they just close down systems. I assume at some point they're going to 360 and PS3 are going to disappear.
Well, Microsoft now are all about the backwards compatible. Which, admittedly, is probably because it suited them to do it.
Yeah.
They didn't have tons of content.
But when are they going to decide that it's too much hassle to keep all of those games available?
I don't think they will, because it's an easy filler for Game Pass, isn't it?
I guess so.
You know, they can immediately say, oh yeah, we've got a catalogue of 300 games.
Yeah.
No, like Netflix, half of it's a volume game, right? You throw enough mud and something will stick.
I guess so.
It's a bit like the success of the Battle Royale games.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there's lots of people releasing Battle Royale games and something's going to hit. So Apex Legends is the one that's hit at the moment.
Yeah, that's got 50 million players now.
I mean, that's really hit. I felt like that came out of nowhere.
I told you on the show a month ago. I said, who wants to go play that Apex thingy? Forgot what it's called.
Yep. I've got it installed, I just haven't got around to it.
You see, I'm not... I've come off of first-person shooters altogether. Although that's more third-person, isn't it?
You haven't come off...
No, Apex Legends is first. It's first-person.
Yeah, but I haven't played
PUBG
them,
is
that.
PUBG
no,
is
No, you're missing
person.
Out, it is quite fun.
It's also causing people's PS4s to crash.
What, is PUBG?
No,
Anthem.
Is it?
Yeah.
For some reason, I've got a copy on the PS4 sat here in front of me. It arrived from Shop 2, but I'm sure I didn't actually pre-order it from Shop 2. I need to go back through and check my account, because I need to send it back.
You've pre-ordered it twice from two different platforms from two different shops.
It does sound like the sort of thing I might do, but it seems unlikely for a game that I wasn't even sure I was going to like.
Yeah.
And that I only got it because I got it for a ridiculous price.
Yeah, that's the only reason I pre-ordered it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered. Because the only reason I really like BioWare games is because of all the characters and story. And obviously, I've still got to try this one. But I've heard bad things. But obviously, I've got it now, so I'm going to play it.
Anthem's good, man. Just ignore the bad stuff. It's a mindless shooter. Like, it's not an intelligent game.
Yeah, but
you know, it's not debating world politics and stuff like that.
But then, Dragon Age Inquisition wasn't a great hack and slash game.
No.
But some of the stuff you did back at base and things was quite nice. I quite enjoyed some of that.
So the base stuff's okay. It's the actual core shooty loop is quite fun. The story's intriguing enough to make you play.
Okay, maybe I'll have a go. Because I keep meaning to go back to Dragon Age, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I say, I haven't gone back to Witcher yet, so...
And they fixed flying something amazingly on PC. Like, it flies beautifully now.
Yeah, because that VIP demo I really couldn't get on with. Given that the mouse sensitivity was terrible in the hub, and then twitchy as anything when you're flying, it was a nightmare. But yeah, I'll have a go. I'll definitely give it a go, because I think I've got enough spare time between my 700 minutes of flying I've got to do over the next week or so.
Can you leave the flying going type thing?
No, because you've got to jump. You've got to jump into a system. I've got to scoop around the star to get some fuel, and then I've got to press the button to jump to the next system. And then you jump in, and you've got to immediately move so you don't run into the star. So you've got to keep doing it over and over again.
Okay.
You know, you've got to wait while your hyperdrive spins up, but yeah, you can't just leave it. It's not like Black Desert, where I set a route between two points and just leave it running backwards and forwards, to level up my breathing or strength, which is what I was doing before. Yeah, so yeah, we'll definitely about. Yes, I think. Yeah, we go.
I think Anthem's been completely maligned. That's my view on Anthem.
Well,
I think people were upset that it didn't look like it did in the demo, which I do get, because it is bullshit when they do that.
Yeah, but is it the same on PC? Is the PC still downgraded as well?
It looks pretty. I mean, look, I don't get to see PC games in all their glory anyway.
Okay. Well, I've only got a 1070. I'm not top of the pile anyway. So, yeah, I'll have a play and see. But it's the buy awareness that I want. And if we lose... Because, although, to be fair, with Andromeda lost some of that, didn't it?
Andromeda... Mass Effect Andromeda, yeah.
So, I shouldn't be surprised if that is lessening and they're just going for, you know, generic games. But if it's a reasonably enough one of those, we only paid £30 for it, didn't we? Something like that.
I paid sub 30.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay.
I paid 28, and then they gave me a £3 refund.
Oh yeah, I got a £3 refund. I think I paid 32 and got a £3 refund, or 31 or something. Yeah, because they paid you a refund because when it was released, it was less than the price when we pre-ordered it.
I don't understand why it's so cheap, because it's, I'm telling you, like it's surprisingly playable.
For £30, it doesn't have
to
be.
It
doesn't have to be a top of the line game. You're talking, you know, almost down to indie prices at that sort of price. So, yeah, you know, you're not down to your £20, £15-20. I'll give that a go. Yeah, I'm not sure about the way things are going, the streaming. But that's the way everything's going these days.
Or what
not,
do you mean?
I don't mean streaming.
You mean in terms of Project X Cloud type thing?
Well, not just that. Not even owning a license for the game. You don't own a license. You're basically paying a sub and they're giving you whatever games you get.
Yes, you're getting access to it.
Yeah. But only for the period that they allow you to.
But that's the same with Netflix and Spotify and all these other things.
Yes.
Like my view on it is if it's something that I really want, I'll buy it.
But will you? Will you be able to in future?
Yeah.
Are they going to take that away? Or is it going to
be... Will it matter? Will it matter? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, as long as you can access it somehow. But I don't think it does matter. I don't think they will take it away, Aaron, because it's not in their interest. It's always in their interest to both offer it on a subscription service and then for you to be able to buy it.
I guess so. And you'll buy it on their service anyway. So... if their service goes away, you lose it anyway.
Yeah.
Because you'll be buying the license. You won't be buying the game.
You'll be able to buy physical media. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yep.
So I suspect maybe the next consoles aren't going to have drives at all. They're all going to be discless
anyway.
There's talk of
there being the next Xbox, one of them being a traditional console and the other one being digital only.
Yeah. Because PCs typically... it's pointless you having a drive on a PC these days.
Yes.
Because you don't... I think I did get a disc once. In the last year, I think I got one disc.
Yeah, even then when Anthem arrived, it was a code in a box, wasn't it?
Yeah. Destiny. Destiny 2, I think, actually came with the disc.
Did it?
I think it did. I think it actually came with the disc. Oh, it came with the code as well, so I can't play it without the code. So the disc is great for installing it, but you still needed to get online and activate it. Because it's an online game anyway. Destiny's an online game, so you're not going to play it offline. And if the servers go down, and you're finished. But, yeah, that was a bit weird. At least it did allow me to pre-install it. I didn't have to do any bandwidth. There was no bandwidth issues, nothing like that. I can install it off the disk and then obviously download a huge patch day of release. But but then it's an online game, so... I don't know. I do sometimes still think that maybe physical media would be a nice thing to have. But then...
Do you know what I like? I like the convenience of being able to switch stuff out.
That's great, but my Steam library is huge.
It is, but then you just scroll down or type in what you want and it's there.
No, I meant in the fact that installing all that stuff is just... I've got terabytes and terabytes of game libraries on my hard disk. Rather than having a stack of DVDs, I've just got huge hard disks that could fail at any time. I mean, I have to re-download my library again. So, I don't know. The ability to just... The problem is the broadband isn't catching up. We all need gigabit internet, and then downloading a game wouldn't be as issue, big an issue of as you know it what it is at the moment. Because if I re-download say GTA, that's a good couple of nights of downloading that I have to go through to download that game, because it is huge. Because of all the expansions they keep adding to it. Every time I go on to it, admittedly, I only go on, you know, once every couple of months. There's a big patch, you know, there's good gigs and gigs of data I have to download every time I go on to it, because they've added more content. And it's just growing and growing. So to re-download that game or re-download, I don't know, some of the bigger games like Witcher or something like that, they're big games. And with 4K texturing becoming more prevalent, they're only going to get bigger. So we really do need better bandwidth. You know, 100 meg isn't going to cut it soon. With the next gen of consoles, they're going to have multi-terabyte drives in it. Otherwise, they're just not going to be able to store the games.
Yeah, talking multi-terabyte drives, I'm building a build.
Yeah, you said you've finally given in and decided PC is the way to go again.
Oh, do you know what? I keep having this conundrum, and the reality is that I do enjoy my PC. You know, and this PC has seen me through 8 years or something, and I worked it out, and it's not that much per year.
No.
And I get to tinker, and I get to do all the fun stuff with it.
And you get to do all this stuff like recording this and things like this. Obviously, you don't need a decent gaming rig to be able to do this, but you couldn't do any of those Steam sales or all your Steam games that you've got.
No. No, I enjoy PC. I enjoy the geekery around PC as well.
Yeah, so just tinkering with it sometimes is quite nice as well.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. So I'm going Intel.
Yes, you said. Yeah.
Core 9700, so an i7.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to keep the 970, my GTX 970, because I've still got a 1080 monitor.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense that while I've got a 1080 monitor, I would need anything more than that. Maybe I'll be wrong, then I can change. But I'll find out.
It depends. If the thing is, I'd say if Rift was coming out with their new headset, that might be useful. But they're not. They're not coming out with any PC-based headsets anytime soon.
No.
And the NVIDIA ray tracing graphics cards aren't that great. Unless you really, really need ray tracing in your life, which...
I don't at the moment. You don't.
It adds stuff to the game, but you're going to really hit your frame rate. And for whatever grand the new cards are. And the 1660s are great cards, but they're more than you've got at the moment, but still. It's about 250, I think, for those. So that's a fair amount of whack for maybe not a huge amount of improvement. You'll have to see. That's the thing with PC, is you've got a card, so you can upgrade later. You don't have to decide now.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do the most economical upgrade that I can.
Yeah. And obviously the graphics cards typically, unless, you know, mining's going to go up come back again. Bitcoin mining or something like that. Then well, graphics cards thing.
So apparently
the
Vegas 56 architecture is not good for it. So there's always the option to go AMD.
Yeah, but I don't think cryptocurrencies are going to make a resurgence. People got stung by them.
Mm.
So all your obviously there's still going to be people that want cryptocurrencies and still going to invest in them and stuff.
Yep.
But the big investors aren't there anymore. And they got stung with the last Bitcoin crash, and so they're a bit shyer than they were before. So the times of mining the coins as well has gone. So unless somebody new comes out and there's a reason to mine Bitcoins again with big rigs and it's economical, then yeah, I reckon we'll be fine for the time being. So the price of the cards are only going to come down then. So waiting the longest you can before you upgrade makes sense, because you're only going to get either a more powerful card for the same money or the same card for less money. So it makes sense to hold off as long as you can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's because I kept my 1070 when I upgraded this rig. I did buy a 1060 for my second rig because I was rocking some old AMD card. A 57 something or other. Really old card. And I wanted to do VR on both, just so the kids can have a go on two VR at the same time. Not that I've got the space for it at the moment. But, yeah, so that was my upgrades. Yeah, so if you want to delay your graphics card purchase, that makes sense. Just wait until it's... Wait till you feel you need it.
The hard thing now, because, I mean, it's been nearly sort of 9 years since I last built a PC.
Yeah.
It's just how complex motherboards have become.
There's some complexity, but not huge.
You've got voltages and stuff like that. You've got to be able to deliver the voltage.
Yeah, but you don't need to worry about that. Unless you're overclocking, you don't need to worry about that.
What do you think I'm going to do?
Well, then that's up to you. You need to look at that. Yeah, if you're overclocking, what you do need to do, though, is make sure your power supply has the right pin outage for your motherboard. Because mine didn't.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes.
I assume motherboards had standard pins.
They do have standard pins, but some of them have more of those standard pins than others. Obviously, I had more of an issue than most people because I went Threadripper. And that's a big, hungry card. So I think I had to have the 24-pin... and two separate CPU power connectors. So, yeah, that was a thing. So I had to have two separate CPU power connectors. I think I've got one or two PCIe power connectors to my graphics card. I think it might be one, actually, 1070. So you've got to make sure you've got the right number of CPU, because most these days, I know Sai had the problem when I gave him that graphics card.
It seems to be working now, though, so I don't know what I fixed, what the problem was.
But you had the problem of not enough pins on your power supply for the graphics card, didn't you, or something?
Did you have to get an adapter
or something?
No, I don't think I did in the end. I think I just had to shuffle some things around.
Yeah, because some lower power graphics power supplies didn't have the PCIe thing, and now obviously as you go up, you need CPU power as well as your 24-pin normal motherboard power. You need CPU power, and sometimes you have one or two, or you have 6-pin or a 4-pin or 8 pins or whatever. No, I think it's 4 or 8 for CPU. It's 6 and 8 for GPU. So yeah, it's all as long as you've got the right number of wires, you should be okay on power supply. But obviously, PC Part Picker will tell you what sort of power output you need. And obviously, looking at the power rating of your power supply and where you get the optimal power rating is always quite nice as well. Because if you need, if your PC runs on 500 watts, then you might want to buy a 650 watt power supply at a gold or platinum rating to get the peak performance of the power supply in the curve. Because all power supplies have a curve, efficiency curve. So your gold efficiency curve have a efficiency power supply will have a certain curve. Platinum will have a better curve that tails off later. But obviously, if you've got a 750 watt power supply, it's not going to be very efficient at delivering 750 watts. It'll give you 750 watts, but it won't be very efficient.
Unless you get the titanium efficiency.
The titanium or platinum or whatever it is gets you better.
I normally just go gold.
Gold is quite good, but obviously
I think a gold is going to be good enough, right?
Well, also it depends where the peak performance is for your gold. So if you've got a gold 750, maybe 650 watt is your peak optimum performance anyway. So
how are you meant to look this stuff up?
There's
graphs
online. I was
just
going to
buy a 650 watt power supply that was very highly rated.
I went Seasonic fully modular for my latest.
Now, I've never heard of Seasonic, but it's a name that I've keep coming across. What's so good about Seasonic power? I can't believe we're discussing power supplies. What's so good about Seasonic power supplies?
They're just really good quality and not very expensive. So the one I've got is fully modular. So you only put in the cables you need. So you haven't got loads of extra cables that you have to cram into your case. And yeah, they're really nice, efficient power supplies. Mine's, I don't know whether mine's platinum actually. They might be a level above gold. I don't know. Mine's a Focus Plus. I don't know what that is. It might be gold. It might be platinum. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a nice, reliable power supplies that have surge protections and all sorts in them as well. And the capacitors on them are quite nice, apparently, that don't die after a while.
So it's got inbuilt surge protection.
I believe a lot of them do.
So you don't have to plug it into a surge protection plug.
It's probably nice if you do, but yeah, it's not.
So come on, Aaron. How do I choose a power supply? This is Aaron's hardware corner. How do I choose a power supply?
I'm not the best person to do this, but yeah. You want to basically find out how much power you need. So it's idle and at full capacity, how much your system will use. And then look at the efficiency curve of your power supply and say, right, where's the best efficiency for this power supply so I can buy the right wattage power supply with the right efficiency rating to give me the best efficiency. So therefore you're effectively using less power. If you get a 750 watt power supply that is platinum rated or really high rated, or a 650 watt maybe gold rated, and you need, say, 600 watt, your 750 watt will actually draw less power and use less energy to generate those 600 watts. Because it's a more efficient power supply and it's rated higher, so it's the curve is probably about right for you delivering your 600 watt at good peak efficiency. So it will only give your motherboard the power it needs, even though it's rated at 750. So you just need to basically judge what the best one is. Also, you know, you've got to be careful that a lower quality power supply is just going to has a chance of, if it blows, blowing your other components. Because I had a Corsair power supply break the other week.
Corsair power supply?
Yeah.
It's quite a good brand.
They're okay. They're not at the top of the line, but yeah, they're not bad. And luckily,
I think I'm running Corsair.
When that blew, it didn't take out any components. I think what happened was I must have the one of the connectors, because it wasn't modular, so I had to cram all the extra wires in, and I must have crammed it in the wrong place, and I reckon it shorted, and it just blew the power supply, but it didn't take any component. My entire system was still fine when I put a replacement power supply in. Luckily, I had a replacement power supply lying around that I put in. Obviously, it's not as good as the old one, but I'm running at a risk. But that's my second rig. So that's, so that's one of the benefits of having a decent power supply, is that it's got these protections. It's got some surge protection. It's got back over whatever. It's got overheating, over ampage protections and all that sort of stuff as well, so. Yeah. But Seasonic are supposed to be a good mate. I was recommended Seasonic by some of the hardware guys at work. So that's why I went Seasonic, was just because they recommended it at work. But obviously there's a whole bunch of pretty reasonable power supplies out there. I don't know all the different makes. That's just the one I was recommended by guys at work as not being outrageously expensive, but still being a decent quality. So yeah, so I just got I don't know, mine's 750 or 800 watt. Now that provides plenty of power for what I need. So yeah, that's our power.
Okay, so I'm going to have to look into power supplies properly.
But to be honest, if it's got the right connectors and it
gives enough... I was going
to
do the Be Quiet fully modular one.
Yeah.
Be Quiet's a proper make.
Be Quiet are a good make. Yeah, they're fair make. So, yeah.
Because everyone was saying that the... I wasn't sure. This is my other debate. Is do I go for a all-in-one air cooler? All-in-one water cooler?
Yeah.
Or an air cooler.
Right, my Threadripper's running air cooler because it wasn't. Water coolers were a bit more just getting a water cooler was a bit tricky, and air cooler's fine because I'm not overclocking it.
Uh-huh.
So a decent air cooler on that, because it didn't come with a stock air cooler. Because Threadripper
don't.
But
so apparently, air cooling provides just as good a cooling.
Air cooling is okay as long as you've got decent airflow through the cooling and everything. Obviously, custom water cooling will get you better cooling. Pre-built
right.
water cooling will get you less good, and then air cooling is less good, less a step down from that. But it depends how cutting edge you want to be on your overclocking.
I just want to get my chip up to 5 gigahertz.
I don't know,
because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, but the problem is it's the silicon lottery, isn't it? It depends what your individual chip can do. You may get a chip that doesn't overclock at all.
Well, it turbos to 4.9.
Okay, so you're going to... you should be able to at least turbo to 5.
To 5, yeah. 5 doesn't... I feel like 5 will be a safe overclock.
Yeah, turboing to 5, you should be safe with that. But yeah, it all depends. You might get another, 500 megahertz. You might get, 5.5, who knows?
Hmm.
Depends on your chip and how hot your chip runs.
Yeah.
If you've got a nice, cool chip, you can overclock it with air cooling, no problem. If you've got a really hot chip, you may need really good water cooling just to get a fair bit of oomph out of it, a fair bit of overclocking out of it. So it all depends, because obviously your chip's rated to what it's rated to. It could be that it's actually a really good chip, and they could have rated it a lot higher. But obviously, they're mass-producing these chips and shoving them out the door. And they've proved that it's rated to what they're selling it at. Because if it wasn't, it'll get rejected down a grade. and try to rate it as a lower grade.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they're shipping X number of this megahertz chip. And not all of the chips that they ship will be exactly that that gigahertz rating.
So I thought the K chips were their top tier chips.
K chips are overclockable. They're unlocked and they are good quality chips.
Right.
But they don't guarantee how much you can overclock them by. So you will be able to overclock them, but it depends. Each chip is different. Every chip has slight imperfections in it. But how that affects your individual chip will depend on your individual piece of silicon that, and how it is put in the chip and all this lot. Because, you know, the distribution of possibilities on the manufacturing process means that it could be any quality of chip. It's probably going to be a better quality chip than if you hadn't got the K version. But there's no guarantee of how good of quality that is. It's going to be better quality, but maybe not super better, or maybe just a little bit better. I don't know. It's all a bit random. So that's the fun and games of overclocking.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my build. I'll keep you all posted with it. It's going to take a couple of months to get all the parts.
Yeah, you see, mine took best part of a week, I think. I was in a bit of a rush.
I could see that happening.
Yeah,
that's the worry. Like, the trouble is, once you know you're building it, you then just want to get on and build it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so I'm just.
I had to send some of my bits back because I ordered the wrong bits because I was in a rush.
So I'm not in that much of a rush. I'm obsessively checking for deals.
Okay, I had to send back the cooler because I ordered the wrong cooler. Because it's the same cooler for different chipsets. But it has a slightly... I needed the TR4 because that's the extension... That's a chip. That's the socket for the Threadripper 1. The TR4. So therefore I needed the cooler name hyphen TR4. But obviously I missed that bit. So I ordered the stock Intel cooler because that was the default. I didn't get the hyphen TR4, so I didn't get the bracket I needed. So I'd send that back. But yes, luckily Amazon accepted the returns. Charged me £4 for the privilege, but you know.
They're so kind.
Yes. Yeah, they're nice at that, like that. But yeah, so yeah, I got... Yeah, we'll have to see how well your rig does. It's probably going to run better games better than mine, at least CPU weight based. Because I think I'm running at 3.7 gigahertz.
Right.
But I am running 12 cores, 24 threads. But then most games don't make that make use of those threads or those cores. Most are optimized for 4. But I'm hoping in the future they will make more threads, make use of more threads as more CPUs are coming on with more cores and more threads. Because yours is 6 or 8?
8 cores.
8 cores, 8 threads. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as more chips become multi-cored and multi-threaded, then hopefully they'll make use of all my cores and all my threads.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can at least keep up in future and I don't have to replace my Threadripper with a Intel build or something, or a Ryzen build, just to get the extra gigahertz on the single cores. Because I don't think Threadripper is very overclockable. They specifically state that you'll void your warranty if you overclock a Threadripper.
Really?
Yes. There's, you can do it. There's the tool that comes, the Ryzen tool that comes with, that you can download for the Threadripper. Says, yeah, overclock it. Here you are, here's how you do it. There's a little slider, you can just do it. We'll deal with it all for you. But there's a big splash screen at the start saying, warranty void if you do this though. So I haven't done it. I've only used that tool for monitoring temps. So I'm monitoring my temperature with that, because some of the other stuff comes up with some weird temperatures. It's coming up with something like 90 degrees or something on my temperatures. But the official Ryzen thing didn't. So I trust theirs rather than the generic fan speed.
Yeah.
One. So yeah, I think that's about me. Is there anything else?
I'm sure I have played lots of games on the Switch. I'm trying to just rack my brains as to what I've finished on the Switch. I have been playing quite a bit on the Switch.
Do you have Ape Out?
Ape Out? No. No, I haven't got Ape Out. That's that top-down, like, what was that, Party Hard, whatever it's called, ish game, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit like that, a bit like Hotline Miami type thing.
That's it, Hotline Miami. Any good?
No, I don't have it. I just wondered if you've been playing it.
It's supposed to be quite good. I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's good. But...
No, I haven't got it.
Yeah.
I've just worked out how I can change my colours on Anthem. I've been playing Skyrim. I've been playing a lot of Skyrim.
I've been thinking of getting back into Skyrim. Because I never finished it.
It's lovely on the Switch. Because you can just dip in and out.
Well, I was going to go on PC and just find all the best, prettiest mods. Just visual mods, though. I didn't want Thomas the Tank Engine or any of that. I just want some visual mods. And I think there was one that allowed you to have multiple followers, which I quite liked. And that's about it, I think. Just all loads of pretty ones to up-res all the textures. Make everything nice and pretty. So I might do that. But then, as I say, I need to do Witcher and Dragon Age. And I've still got Ace Combat 7 sat there, shrimp-wrapped. I still haven't broken the disc out. As I say, I haven't played Anthem yet.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. Oh, we did try... I did try and get the kids playing Project Cars today. That is a really nasty, nasty piece of software.
Project Cars. Why is it nasty?
The menu for the controller isn't available in the track view.
So when really?
When you go into a race, you can't pause it and go to the controller menu. You have to come out of the race, go to the title screen, then go to the options and mess around with your controller, then go back into the race, try your controller out, then come back out again. Oh, it's just doing my nut. Because my wheel wasn't working right. And I just couldn't get it working for them. And obviously, my son's got the VR headset on trying to do the game, and I'm trying to, because the menus don't work on the control. Oh, it's just an absolute nightmare. So so that was fun. Oh, this is Project Cars 1 though, so I don't, hopefully 2's better. But yeah, I was just, one of my sons wanted to play racing in VR, so I thought, oh yeah, I've got Project Cars, no problem, just boot it up, you can play with the wheel, no problem. Yeah, 20 minutes later, not one single... He hadn't moved the car. We hadn't managed to move the car. Not even pressed the accelerator button. So, yeah, that's fun and games.
That's annoying.
Yeah, so I'll have another go at that and get that working for him. Played some more Astroneer, obviously. Human Resource Machine I've played some more of. Winkelchi, The Little Shop. I've played some of that. Which
What's
is
that?
A early access shop management game. It's a bit naff, really, to be honest.
It's not good as Reseteer, then.
What's that one?
Reseteer or Reseteer 2?
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's quite a famous one, Reseteer. Or Reseteer, I don't know how you pronounce it. Okay. Or Holy Potatoes.
Oh, Holy Potatoes. I've got that one, but the space one. hope to...
Yeah, oh, this space was the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was on sale at some point. It was really cheap. And there's a reason. It's early access. It just about works. And I'm going to give it some time. And maybe come back to that at some point. But yeah, that's what I've... Oh, and some PC building simulator. So that's in the Steam library, by the way. So if you want to pretend to build your...
Yeah, I was going to say, I can practice.
You can practice building your PC. Because there is a free play mode where you can just build PCs. Just get a chassis and put a motherboard in and stuff. And see if it boots. Might even be able to get your own motherboard or whatever. Because they do update it with new motherboards and things, I think.
Do they?
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what... that's about all I've been playing.
And you need to get involved in some Anthem.
Yeah,
Apex Legends, not Anthem.
Oh,
Apex... No.
People are ditching Anthem to come play Apex Legends, come on.
I'm sure people are.
I'm sure they are, but I've paid for for Anthem, so I'm playing that one.
You don't have to pay for Apex Legends, that's the...
Yeah, but I have paid for Anthem. If it was a choice...
Oh, I didn't... I didn't say... For my birthday, Claire got me two games.
Oh, yeah?
She got me the Discworld RPG book.
Okay.
So I've got the GURPS.
Oh, the GURPS book. Thing. Okay, yeah. That's
really
old,
excited.
Isn't it?
I'll tell you when this edition was published. It's an absolute tomb. It's amazing.
Are you going to DM us in Tabletop Simulator?
I think I might.
That might be good.
I it's really, really cool.
Then maybe after that, I'll get one of my Elite Dangerous RPG ones out. But no, they're the Elite Dangerous RPGs are actually RPGs roughly based on Elite Dangerous. It's not actually just ships. It's an actual RPG, but that's quite good. And the second one?
She got me X-Wing, the ball game, the tabletop miniature game.
Oh, okay.
The starter pack. It's really good.
What's version 2 or version 1 now?
Version 1. I wanted version 1.
Because everyone switched to version 2. Well, if you've got version 1, you can play with me, because I've not got the top grade.
I just don't see the point. I'm quite happy with the basic set, and I maybe will buy one or two ships, but I don't see a major problem with the rules because I'm not playing at a highly competitive level.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the rules only became complicated when you or broken when you had a massive fleet. You know, they made some changes, I think, to barrel rolls and stuff. But
I think people were metagaming it, but
I'm just enjoying it for what it is.
Well, are you playing it with someone? Are you?
I just play it with one of my mates. He quite liked it.
Is X-Wing, yeah?
Not
XCOM. For some reason, I heard XCOM. I thought...
No.
I've got the XCOM game. That's quite good. It's quite similar to the actual game.
No, I've not got that. I did back the Munchkin Dungeon Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. No,
which is really good.
I nearly bought the X-Wing game for Christmas for the kids.
Oh, you can come play with me.
I mean, if you want to buy all my old stuff, you're more than welcome.
Maybe I will. We'll see. Maybe go down and play with Dave at one point, and then we'll see.
I'm up for playing for some version 1, actually.
We can play on tabletop, can't we?
You can.
We can. But then we don't need to buy anything.
Or we could just wait till EGX and spend some time.
It's in London this year, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Oh, God, yes. Docks, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, God. Where have they taken it out of the NEC?
And Docklands, of all places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even central. Oh. Yeah, so I don't think I'm doing Res this year.
Is that other Docklands as well?
That's at Tobacco,
Tobacco
Docks.
Dock.
Which is actually much easier.
It's easier Tobacco to get not to. Docklands?
No. It's that way, but it's not quite so far.
I assume it's on the Thames.
Yeah, Tobacco Dock is on the Thames. Docklands is the other end of the Thames.
The Docklands by Canary Wharf, isn't it?
Docklands is by Canary Wharf, yeah.
So it used to be good when it was at Earls Court. But...
Yeah, I quite liked it at Earls Court. I quite liked it when I was in The Little Place.
The Little Place?
What's the name of the little exhibition hall that it used to be in? The old brewery.
Don't know. That was before my time, I assume.
I thought it had always been at Earls Court.
No. It was at the old brewery to start with.
Okay. I've only been to Earls Court. And
the NEC.
Yeah.
Well, you should come up for the board game expo.
So one of my mates has got he's booking a hotel for that, so I am tempted to come down for the day.
Yeah, I'll be there.
The thing is, how many board games can you realistically play in a day? Because they take hours, right?
Play? It's about buying, Dave. Bring your thousands.
I don't need any encouragement with that. Bloody hell. Oh, I'll tell you a site. There's a really good game that you should get. I think the only place in the UK that you can actually buy it is Zatu. But Fire Tower? I backed it on Kickstarter, and it's now out, as it were.
I just bought a load of stuff of Zatu. I've only just discovered this. Is it a new website? It must be quite new.
No, Zatu's been around for ages.
But they've just started doing board games or what?
No.
Because I've bought a load.
They've got the URL board-games, man. They've been around for a long time.
I feel like Zatu hasn't... They're not someone who has a presence at the thingy show or anything.
No, because they're big enough.
They seem to be really cheap.
Yeah, they're very good. And if you order 3 or more, you get 3%. 5 or more, you get 5%.
Yeah, that's so I ordered like everything for the DC deck building game.
Okay. So get Fire Tower. Honestly, it's brilliant. It's a competitive game where you're trying to blow a forest fire to someone else's fire tower.
Okay, I am Googling it now.
I think it cost about £30.
Fire Tower. No, Fire Tower.
Yep.
Space. Okay, Fire Tower.
It's honestly absolutely fantastic. It's a Euro game.
What was that adventure game where you were in the forest fire tower?
Firewatch.
That was it, Firewatch. Looks like that. Of course, it won't be like that. This is a board game, but
it's really good, really good.
£27.
Yep, worth every penny. But honestly, it's become it arrived a couple of weeks ago, and we're loving it.
I think it's good if a good co-op one if you can get the chance to get it. Robinson's
Crusoe. Apparently, it's really good. It's been on my Amazon list for a little while.
Yeah, that's good. And Great Western Trail is good as well.
Yeah, I just worked my way through my Kickstarter games that arrive.
Oh, I've got. Let's have a couple. I've backed on Kickstarter. I just backed one called Champions of the Wild.
Did you see Valoran? Valoran something. What was the name of the game? Valor and Villainy.
No.
Revenge of Mordor or something. It looked brilliant. I missed out on it. I just forgot to back it in time type of thing. It's a Skybound published game. Oh, I tell you what else arrived. City of Kings. Sorry, I'm sort of schizophrenic with all this stuff. City of Kings arrived. And that's really good. If you want like a tabletop adventure game, but it's like a full fat RPG.
Okay.
But like it's got a really cool mechanic to it.
I've got I've got Champions of the Wild, which is like it's a bit like Cards Against Humanity. No, it's not like Cards Against Humanity. I don't know. There's lots of animals and there's lots of events. And you have to tell everyone else why your animal would win the event.
Okay.
So let's have a look. I'll give you an example. You know, you have your animal. You choose your animal at the start. So let's say you can have someone's got a grizzly bear, a manta ray, an eagle, a Komodo dragon, right? Let's say the event is a Royal Rumble. So you have to say why your grizzly bear would win the, or animal stacking, or 50 meter swim. So there's lots of events and lots of animals. And everyone everyone votes on which one they award points out. You have to award your points out to the other players in the ranking you think they'd finish.
That sounds like quite a good social game.
And it's kids friendly as well, I guess, which is nice.
I tell you what's really good is kids games, which is, you know, obviously not something that necessarily you're going to care about, but My First Stone Age.
I've seen Stone Age. I've also seen this My First Scythe as well.
Yeah, and there's My First Carcassonne. My First Carcassonne's fantastic. Really well thought through little My First game.
I like Scythe, so I wondered what My First Scythe would be like.
Apparently My First Scythe is actually quite strategic still.
Yeah, I wonder what age group's it for?
Six, because off the top of my head it's just a little bit too complex for Chloe at the moment. Although she's very good at sort of My First Carcassonne stuff. Like, when she has her friends around and they're playing it, she gets a bit competitive with it. But it's very good. It's very, very good. What else have I been playing? Tabletop. City of Kings, Fire Tower. I discovered Clank.
Clank?
Not heard of Clank?
Nope.
Deck building game, really good. Get Clank in Space.
Clank in Space.
Yep. So it's a deck builder, and you've got to start and steal treasure without it, without sort of dying. And you've got to make it off the ship. And it's really good. Well worth playing.
I don't know what else. Eldorado is one I've... Island of Eldorado.
Oh, I've got that on pre-order as well.
Are you gone for the... I've got the first edition. Are you getting the edition with the expansion?
Yeah.
Okay. And Villagers is the other one I've got backed.
Village Pillage arrived, actually. I've still got to play that.
Village Pillage, no. This is the people who... The Gloomhavens.
Yeah, no. Villagers is the, again, card building, deck building game. But Village Good Pillage, it looks good. You've got to steal each other's turnips.
Okay.
So that's really good. I feel like tabletop is in such a renaissance at the moment.
It is.
And there's such interesting... Such interesting, like, game design out there.
Cool.
It's really good. But yeah, X-Wing, I'll be well up for playing that.
Yeah, we'll have to get together and maybe we'll even record it. I've been getting ready to release some more of our EGX from last year videos.
Ooh.
As some of the games are actually maybe coming out soon. So, the next one that's coming out is Honey, I Join a Cult.
When's that out?
This year. I did contact them and said, have you got any more dates yet? But no, it's still this year. So that's coming out soon. So I'll get the interview out soon. I'm just putting the cards together. They've given me a logo and given me some B-roll. So we're ready to go with that one. And then I'll work my way through them. Hopefully, nice. With this new Threadripper, I should be able to get through them quite quickly. I've got two different pieces of software now to edit videos in 360, so I'm going to give it a go between the two and see which one I prefer and get them edited.
Not that that's getting really involved for you.
So we'll see.
Nah, you'll have a...
Yeah, I'll have a play with those.
Have a look-see.
Maybe even stream the editing process, but... After the first one or two, when I've had I know what I'm doing.
And even then, you say you know what you're doing.
Well, yes, I won't know exactly what I was doing. I'll just have a clue, rather than no clue as to what I'm doing now. But yeah, we ought to stream some more games. So
we should be streaming. Maybe we'll do some Anthem streaming. People can actually make up their mind as to
Yeah, we'll do some maybe tomorrow or something. I'll have a look, see what my schedule's like this week. You'll have to have a look. But I'll definitely be streaming Friday night this week. I've had a few Fridays off, but yes, Friday and Sunday I normally stream. So
the streamings are working now?
Yes, yeah, it's all fine now.
Go.
Yep. So, streaming. I don't know what I'll be streaming this Friday. Maybe Elite Dangerous, but I doubt it. I shall find a nice one to stream.
Nice. Right, well, we'll be streaming. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
And where can they see the stream?
It'll be twitch.tv/theloopcasters.
Si, where can people follow you? They follow you these days? They can't follow you these days.
They can follow UKVG deals still. I just haven't. At some point, I'm going to rebrand, let's say. We'll probably still have the deals, but it's just... I'm probably going to make it a bit more useful for what I do now. I'm not posting so many deals and stuff. It was a very time-consuming task.
I can imagine.
That worked well at the time, but I think you know, there's different platforms, and I think deals have become less and less prominent. I don't know if it's as we enter the end period of a console life cycle or...
I don't know, Steam aren't doing as good a deals these days either.
So. Yeah, Steam's have gone down a lot. And, you know, PlayStation seems to... You know, but they have deals on PlayStation Store and stuff, but they seem... They're actually so regular that nothing's really stand out anymore. And Amazon doesn't seem to drop prices like they used to.
No. Although there are still deals to be had.
Yes. Yeah, I got Ni No Kuni the other week for 12, which I haven't touched.
Yep, no, that's in cellophane.
Play Astrobot. Astrobot's fantastic. Play Astrobot.
I need to go. Yeah, I do actually want to try that.
I've got that somewhere. The kids have played that. I haven't. I need to dig that one out as well. And Moss. I need to play Moss. That's supposed to be really good. So, yeah. Okay.
Right, you can follow me at Fleischer. You can follow the entire show at The Loopcasters. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. Until next week, we're off.
Okay.